Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up April 24th through the 26th in Texas. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Steven Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Steven is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Steven. Steven, how are you doing?
I'm delighted to be here today.
Good. Well, you know, as we are recording this broadcast, I'm so thankful that I can look out my window now and see the sun. We've had such unusual weather here in San Antonio where for like over a week we didn't see the sun, and that is unheard of here. And I'm realizing to my friends up in the northwest part of the United States, I say an extra prayer for you. I don't know how you can spend a lot of time without seeing the sun, but and especially for our friends that are in places like Alaska and some of the northern hemisphere locations where you go for months without seeing the sun. I guess I'm just a sun person. I need light, Stephen. I need to see the light.
Well, just the sun shining, even if it's cold.
Even if it's cold, exactly. And so kind of a little bit of what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be shedding some light on an issue that I think is very, very prevalent in our, not only in our society, but just with us as individuals and as human beings. And it's this issue of shame. We talked in a previous broadcast where we were really looking at you know, some issues of identity and false identity and true identity. And of course, that the issue of shame will come up then. But we thought, you know, we need to unpack this a little bit more and maybe get a little more specific about this issue of shame. And what does it look like? How can we combat this? And what is the ultimate message that we need to hear in order to kind of overcome and be victorious in this issue of shame? So, Steve, before we jump in there, do you have anything you wanted to say?
Yes, I thought you and I should just go back and forth on what have you learned about shame and what have I learned about shame. And we're in meetings all the time with men that are constantly talking and teaching us about this deep inner dialogue. My first thought is shame is always destructive. Mm-hmm. It's never growth. It's never affirming or nurturing. Shame is a very inner, quiet, destructive dialogue.
Yeah, I think about it. When you were saying that, I thought, you know, we've even tried to use shaming as a motivational tactic. I mean, think about, I think about some stories I've heard about coaches, parents, even societies. You know, you think about the stocks, where they'd have a person out in the stocks in the town square for 24 hours. And it's just, it's like we've tried to use shame as a motivator. And what you're saying is absolutely true. There's nothing positive about shame. There's nothing that is of a good nature.
But I think people get confused because they think, wow, if I beat myself up for failing, you know, somehow a good outcome is going to occur. But you sort of destroy your foundation, right? You devalue yourself. So tell me again, how do I feel better? How do I really do better after I call my name, myself stupid names and, you know,
yeah, how does that critical, move me in the right direction?
Yeah, you know, yeah. How do I practice a good skill? Tell me again.
And I do want our listeners to know that I think there's a fundamental difference between what we might call guilt and what we call shame. And what I mean by this is I think guilt is a feeling that we have that is actually from God. We might call it our conscience. Yes. The innate ability that we have to sense the difference between something that is right and something that is wrong, something that is healthy and something that's unhealthy. Now, bear in mind, we are fallen human beings, and so therefore this is not a perfect mechanism within us because sometimes it can get seared, it can get wounded. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can kind of get this compass off track. But we all have this sense within us that tells us when something just doesn't feel right, you know? Mm-hmm. In that sense, I think guilt is a good thing because guilt says, I made a mistake. Guilt can kind of show us where there are certain lines where it's like, you know what, when I went across that line, something in me triggered. Something in me didn't feel right. There was a guilty feeling. That's good because it's kind of like the way our nervous system works. If you put your hand on a hot stove, then your nervous system is going to scream at your brain that that's not where your hand should be and you're going to remove your hand. So guilt sort of operates in that same way. Hey, you cross a line and something in your spirit goes, that's not right. Well, good. That's a good thing to correct you to get back on track. Guilt doesn't attack your worth as a human being, though. So guilt may say, I made a mistake. Shame says, I am a mistake.
Yes.
And so shame goes right to the core of your value as a human being and starts to rip that to shreds. And that's why we believe shame is not a healthy thing. Shame does not have anything good to it, does not produce anything good. So why don't you, because we were going to talk just about just sort of, okay, what are some thoughts we've had on shame? Like what is
it? But the one that I want to go back to is something we talked about in an earlier show, but it's this shame dialogue destroys your identity.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have the right identity. And so how can you be whole? How can you be healthy if you
Live out of a label that's not correct?
There you go. I was trying to figure out how to say it. But you put the wrong label and you define yourself wrong, but you're supposed to live a healthy whole life, but something's broken on the inside, and you repeat broken, 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 bad, 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 shame, shame, shame.
Yeah, it's like saying, okay, I want to live as a healthy, productive, godly member of society, but I'm constantly reminding myself of a label that I have on me that is of this despicable, unhealthy, godless person, and somehow I'm supposed to live this other life.
Yeah, go over there with all those healthy people and fit in.
But yet I'm still going to keep this label on me that says this is what I am.
Now, you see, this is the other part that has occurred to me is that you can't live well in community.
No.
If you have shame dialogue and wrong identity, we need to be in fellowship, we're told.
Because that's one of the things I wrote down about, okay, what does shame produce? Like, what does it do in our lives? And one of the things I wrote down, initially I said it invites you to hide or lie about who you really are. And then I said, no, the better word is it demands that you lie and hide who you really are.
That's powerful.
It's not just saying, hey, you know, it's probably kind of a good idea that you not tell people about, you know, that really secret part of yourself.
Yeah.
It says you had better not tell anybody about that secret part of yourself.
But so it's powerful is what you're saying.
It's like strong. It has power over us.
Yeah.
It creates a fear in us that says, if anybody did get behind this curtain and find out like the things I've really thought, the things I've really done, the feelings I've really had, then but they wouldn't
want
me. But
if I can't tell anyone, I have to be alone.
Yeah, and we're not made for that.
Not for alone.
As human beings, we're not made for alone.
And that's what we hear guys saying, I thought I was alone. I'm in hiding my secret, which is my shame program, and I've been standing off, right? But I'm trying to live a whole life, but I can't be connected to other people well because they might know of my failings.
And that's the hard thing, you know, when you're trying to go over here and live in the environment that you know you need to live in. You know you need to be in community. You know that you need to be doing certain things that you're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're trying to go over there without bringing that stuff into the light, without bringing your full self into community. It's like opposite ends of a magnet trying to come together. You never connect.
Because you can't, right?
Think about it, Stephen. Think about if you and I had tried to develop a friendship where I only knew you as a counselor. That's the only identity, quote unquote, that you would bring to me is just your professional identity. And you only knew me through my professional identity as director of this ministry.
Okay.
What kind of like depth of connection could there ever be in our friendship?
Business.
It's simply a heady profession. There's no emotional connection. There's no friendship really developed. And I think a lot of guys are doing that. They've got professional connections. They've got church connections because they've formed an identity for that environment.
I have a lot of acquaintances, but I don't have any true friends.
Yeah.
That's what they would say, right? I know a lot of people.
And so this is the shame wall that happens.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? That's probably what's happening, right? I can't go deep because I have shame in here. I don't know what to do with it. I sure can't show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the other part is everybody I know has some. Do you know many people that don't have some shame?
Not if they're honest. I mean, everybody has. And I think, you know, I would have to admit even today, there's still struggles that I have with these old lies that want to come back. And that's the thing about the way these wounds can work that lead us into shame is they run deep.
Yeah.
And because most of them occurred originally in childhood, they run really deep.
So they're like old habits that you're saying, right? And
almost
they
want to
come back. They want to come back. They're routine. They're comforting in a bad, negative sort of way. Mm-hmm. They're known.
It's almost like they're more than old habits. It's like they're old friends that aren't good for us.
Old bad friends. Yeah. That's true. And when you say friend, it means comfort and known and predictable.
Right.
But bad means we're going to end up doing the thing I probably don't want to do.
Yeah. Think about it in terms of familiarity, okay? You learned how to cope as a child to deal with these wounds, probably in a childish sort of way, which is the best you'd come up with.
Sure.
But then when you become an adult and you realize that those same things don't work in adulthood that protected you in childhood and that you've got to mature, you need to grow up, and we don't know how, that produces a whole new type of shame. Yeah. It's like, I'm not enough. I don't know how to be a man. I don't know how to grow up. I can only be a 12-year-old kid. I don't know how to be a fully grown, mature man.
So we're just throwing out ideas about shame. One is, I hear it's very destructive. It's limiting, it's controlling, it's powerful, but it's destructive.
Mm-hmm. And that's just it. It's almost like think about the power of water to destroy.
Mm.
If you have something that, you know, in terms of how it destroys pipes and it can even erode rock and all this kind of stuff. If it's just a constant flow or a constant dripping. And I think that's what shame does to our soul. If it just continues to sort of flow over our souls, it just erodes and erodes and erodes. And it kind of causes us to waste away as a human being because, like we said before, we're made for community, right?
Right.
Well, if you can never bring your full self into community and that shame just keeps dripping over your soul, eventually you're probably just going to disengage completely from community. You're going to go further into isolation.
Right.
And I see it almost as a soul that's withering, that's just decaying and eroding.
You know, we're really painting shame as a very powerful force.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives us, but it drives us wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It drives us to isolate. It drives us away from
what we need.
Yeah. So it's a very powerful force, but it's taken us in the wrong direction. It's not taken us to life and freedom and truth.
And I would say, too, one of the things about shame is it tends to only define you based on your failure. So think about it. Even if I remember this going through high school because I was an all-star basketball player, and there were all these people that would say all these wonderful things about my abilities on the basketball court. You know how that would filter when it, by the time it hit my soul? Is it would basically come into my ears, it would hit my brain, and then by the time it hit my heart, it'd be like, yeah, but they don't know me. So I could never receive...
As a blessing.
I could never receive the praise as a blessing to my soul, because by the time it got down to my soul, I had such a shame encasing... My, you know, such a shame
drip on my soul
that it was like even good messages couldn't get through because I never really revealed myself in community to those who would love me as I am.
And so you're saying the message is failure, right? Mm-hmm. And unworthiness.
And if
and
you.
So even if they bring you a blessing, Jonathan, you're good. You did good. Oh, no, I'm unworthy.
Yeah, because the longer you immerse yourself in shame, it not only drives you further into isolation, it walls off others from being able to enter that place. Mm. So it has an effect of both you running away as well as holding off anybody that might want
but
to
even
go
blessings
deeper. Exactly,
or people trying to get into your life, right? Mm-hmm. So a note I made was it destroys God's ideal, right? That we're his children, we're made in his image, and that he has a plan for us. And it's the work of the enemy? Is that a good way to say it? Because it's not freedom and truth.
Oh, no, yeah. We're told that Satan is the father of lies. It's his native language. So we know that we can know that.
He speaks shame. Hey, what language does the devil speak? Oh, he speaks shame. That's
There you go.
That's his language.
That's
his
language is shame.
Sorry, go ahead. You were going to.
I think that's exactly right. So we can know that anything that is not true is not born of God. So everything that's not true, we know the source for that. It's the enemy. And so all lies originate from him. And so that's, you're right. The only language that Satan is going to speak to you is shame. And so, because he wants your soul to erode. He wants you to get isolated and disconnected. He does not want you in fellowship with others who can speak truth in your life and who can love you for who you are. He wants you to get all deceived by those thoughts that you don't measure up, you're not good enough, you can't succeed. There's no one that's going to ever love you if they get behind that curtain and find out who you really are.
You know, in The Lord of the Rings, Gollum, right? He got consumed with the power of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was going to set him free, but it wasted his whole being into, right? He morphed into something else because he was believing this lie. And the way you're talking about shame, it's like, okay, you're the only one. I'm going to tell you deceptions about your identity, and I'm going to leave you disconnected from other people. Mm-hmm. And you're going to look like a wasted soul by the time this is over, if this is your diet.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great visual. I mean, that's a great visual to have. And that's probably something that's a good thing to bring to mind when those shame lies are coming up is, oh my goodness, I'm on a trajectory to look like Gollum if I keep going this route, I'm a visual person, so a lot of times I like to have little movie scenes in my mind that will kind of correct me or change my direction of my thinking. So I want us to shift gears here a little bit because, okay, so we've sort of set up this idea of what is shame and sort of what are things that it speaks to you. I want us to get very specific, though, about one area that you brought here that we can show different environments, different contexts in which this same message is trumpeted into our lives over and over again.
So give me the message.
And that message is, and it fits perfectly with shame because it is kind of the ultimate message of shame. The message is, I am not enough.
Wow, let's think about that, man. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I've had that thought. You've had that thought?
Oh, sure, yeah.
But everybody we're talking to out and listening to us has had that thought that I'm not enough too. Because I know people that are smarter and prettier and have more. And so inside me, fear says in a whisper, you're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like you're enough. Don't go out there. You're really not enough. Don't you see your humanity? Don't you see your struggles? You're not enough.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about my, I come from a, a family that there are certain people in the family that have a tendency to be worriers, which I think is a cousin of fear. I mean, yeah. Worry is a type of fear. Mm-hmm. And I find myself every now and then, you know, in various seasons of life where there's higher maybe stress at work, there's higher stress in parenting and just certain things that are going on in life in general. And sometimes I start to have these feelings of worry come over me. Mm-hmm. And really what it is, it's what if thinking. Well, what if this and what if that? And that's mm-hmm. fear talk. And a lot of times what comes up in those talks is really it comes out this way, you're going to fail. Which is another way of saying you're not enough. Mm-hmm. You're not going to measure up in this.
And let me build on that, because you're going to fail and then you're going to be rejected, mm-hmm. right?
Or the idea is, yeah, you're going to fail and somebody's going to know about it. And then what's that going to mean for your reputation, for that relationship, for, right. you know, whatever.
Well, and I push it to, and then they're not going to like you,
right.
and they're going to separate from you or reject you, and you're going to be alone, and you're going to be out there all by yourself, disconnected. When they know how flawed you really are, fear says you're not enough. But haven't you noticed that just on the journey of life that you hear this? Or you see it at times. I guess one would be like television, I think is famous for making you feel like you're not enough.
Oh, all the advertising is about that. Unless yes. you have this car and this house and this drug and this, I mean, it's like.
If you're this tall and you're this fit,
yeah.
right? And you're this pretty and you have, you know. I've been looking at trucks and we're in Texas and mm-hmm. we're cowboys and. You know, we're talking from the barn, you know, out on the 40, the North 40 out here, and we ought to have trucks, you know. Sometimes I think maybe I'm not enough because I don't have a truck. I need a pickup truck.
But you know what? That's how it works, right? That's how it works in life, and exactly what you're talking about. There's all these messages mm-hmm. that are being sent to us, and if we sort of come from our shame template,
yeah.
we're going to interpret them as, you know what, you don't have a truck, so therefore you don't measure up, you're not enough. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're talking about here is, man, it's that shame filter.
Have you ever had a boss that said, you know, you're not working out, mm-hmm. it's not enough, you know, we found somebody that's better, you know, you didn't make the team, you know, you're on the B team, or somebody in power said no. See, there were the redbirds and the bluebirds, and I was in the blackbirds, you know, and yeah. so in school I knew I was not a redbird or a bluebird. I wasn't enough, you know.
And you know what, sadly, I think sometimes you can be in a relationship, either a marriage, a friendship.
With a spouse,
even maybe
one.
Parent to child, where you've never heard you're enough.
That's true.
It's always
That's
you could right. do more, you could do more, you could do more.
Yes.
Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And so you just feel criticized all the time. You feel I'm not enough. I don't measure up for this person.
Do you think even in our sexuality and like porn, there's a lie that you're not enough?
Listen, everything about porn will tell you you're not enough, because it's this false picture of what sexuality is all about, and the false picture goes way beyond what is normal and real. And so, you know, good grief, we've talked with many men who have this inferiority complex because they've been looking at porn for years and years, because they go, I can't perform like that sexually, and I'm not that large, and I can't do this. I mean,
well,
all
yeah.
these things, like I'm not enough physically, or I'm just not enough sexually. And so.
And then what about like chores and tasks? You know, what does your yard say? Does your yard say you're a great keeper of yards? Does your house
This
say,
is why I live in the country and don't have a yard.
You have fresh paint on. Is your fence looking sharp? You know,
yeah.
do things sort of scream out, the dust bunnies in the corner, do things sort of scream out, you're not enough?
Now, this is something that cuts really close to home, because, you know, I grew up in a family where, at least as a kid, I perceived that we had to be ready for the president to always show up. You know, so I perceived that, listen, a clean house is like the ultimate. That's what matters most. Whoa. And so to this day, I've struggled with that. And, you know, my wife and I, she struggles with it a little bit too. Like, could we be okay if somebody just popped in unannounced?
Yeah.
Without having to straighten
people
up the house.
People used to do that, yeah, and it was okay. And now it's somehow.
And now you feel like you got to have, you know, a house that's ready
but
for modeling.
Even the houses are so much nicer and larger. And is your house big enough? And do you have nice enough? And it's like, I mean, it's just, this message is screaming at us from all over.
And we wonder why there's been just such an increase in anxiety medications and depression medications and all these diagnoses of these disorders that are very real. And I think they're not disconnected from this fundamental message.
Well, even in life, did you get where you were from a job standpoint? And do you have the things, there's an American dream and you're supposed to have, you know, these ideals. And you look at people looking at Facebook and getting depressed now because they travel. These people eat out all the time. They travel all the time. They have nice things. And and it's like, I'm not that good. I'm not enough to keep up with them.
Now, I think we have adequately driven home the point that shame is the underlying thing in all of this. This idea that this message of shame ultimately screams at you, you are not enough. But we don't want to end the program that way.
Right, 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 good.
We want you to know that there's is
hope.
Not there's, the message of who you really are.
I was getting depressed here, yeah. Oh. So I was looking at this material by Breen Brown. I think I got her name right. And she has this little outline.
I think it's Brene. But, okay. I don't know. I'm
okay,
sure.
Good. One of those two. So she says, you need courage, compassion, and connection. You need courage. You know, you say that when you start the workshop to the men. Mm-hmm. It takes courage. You know, and compassion to be kind to yourself and get yourself in a good connected situation. So let's go through those three.
Well, the courage piece is huge because think about it. You've worn all these labels probably for a long time. And as much as you, in your soul, you don't want these labels, it's like we said before, they're your old bad friends. It's all you've known to wear on your soul are these labels of this falseness about you're not enough. So it takes a great deal of courage to be able to say, you know what, I want to start peeling these off and put what's true onto my soul.
Yes.
And that's not a short journey, and that's not one that you just can kind of flip a light switch and all of a sudden you're just going to replace these old labels with new labels. So I want to encourage you listeners out there, I'm going to connect here really the courage and connection piece, because as much as I would love to be able to say, you just need to muster up this courage in yourself and then go do that, you are going to need people around you that say,
that's good. Yes.
That encourage you. That's like, encouragement is exactly that. It's helping another person have courage. And so we need to connect with one another to be able to say, I don't want to believe these things anymore, and how can I move toward what's the correct message?
That's good, because alone we get in trouble, right? We need to have our connection in place.
So get to some safe places where there are people that are going to tell you the truth, but they're going to tell you the truth in love. That even when you peel back the curtain and say, okay, here's who I am, all of my brokenness, all of my shame, all of these labels that I've had, that these people can say, you're welcome here. And we're going to work through this so that you can begin to put the new labels of what God says who you
are. But that's sort of the compassion piece, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You're
it is,
welcome
absolutely.
Here. You can be human here. You can be a struggler here. You can shed some of the baggage and just leave it here.
And the good news is God says you are enough. And listen, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've carried, no matter what's been put on you, God says you're enough.
He wants you just like you are.
Absolutely.
You're enough.
And you know what? By the way, when he wraps his arms around you, he doesn't just wrap his arms around the parts that you've been presenting to everybody else like you've got it all cleaned up. He embraces you fully. He says, I know what's behind the curtain, and I still wrap my arms around that part of you, and I want every single bit of you because you are enough to me. And so we want to end there with that message. I want you to just be repeating from now.
You're enough.
From now until you hear our voices
you're
again
enough.
Next week, you are enough.
You're enough.
You are enough.
You're enough for your Father above. You're enough. He loves you just the way you are. You're plenty. You're enough.
Amen. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.